Hi, this is David Soper from Radio Entrepreneurs. We are broadcasting live from MTP Software here in Framingham. And today we are talking about nonprofits and foundations in general. Today my guest is Michael Cipolletti from FNE International.
Hi.
How you doing, Michael?
Good. And yourself?
Good, good. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up at FNE and what FNE, their mission is and what they're all about.
Great. So I grew up in New York and went to high school in Long Island, Northport High School. And the club, there was a club in the high school called Students for 60,000, which was founded in the late 80s. And it was started to work with the homeless population in Manhattan in 1988 with 60,000 people. In 1992, my professor from high school, Pete White, brought the first group of students down in Nicaragua. He had gone in 1990 with his former faculty chairperson. And I got involved with the club as a sophomore in high school and wasn't able to travel either junior or senior year because I was abroad elsewhere. I went to Stonehill College, started in 95, and the summer between my first and second year, talked with Peter and sort of convinced him to run a summer trip. And on that trip, we built a school, and it sort of was a life-changing experience. So that trip was August of 96. 2 days later, I was back at Stonehill as an orientation leader and was talking to a bunch of my friends about my experiences in Nicaragua. They were like, well, we would love to do a trip like that here. And so from that first trip, I was able to work with Stonehill and form their Alternative Spring Break program. And in February of 28th, 97, we took our first international Alternative Spring Break trip. And that program now is entering its 20th year. And FNE actually is working with Stonehill as the liaison in Nicaragua. So I was involved in Nicaragua for a number of years until about 2002, 2003. I took some time off because I was involved with a bunch of different business ventures. And when I went through some changes in my business career in 2007, realized I wanted to get back to Nicaragua. And October of 2007, I returned and realized that it was really what I wanted to sort of focus my life on. So in beginning in 2008, started going more and more. My teacher, Pete White, had retired from the high school and had started a nonprofit called Friends of Students for 60,000. And he was living in New York. I was living in Boston. I was working with them. And that kind of got a little bit complicated. So in 2011, we became a chapter of Friends of Students for 60,000 here in New England called Friends NE. And after 2 or 3 years of working as a subordinate chapter, we decided it was in our best interest to become an individual 501c3 for writing grants and for having more access to different funding options. So in December of 14, founded FNE International. And FNE stands for Facilitate, Network, Empower. And we work predominantly in Nicaragua. We do also do some work in Peru. And we have one project in expressive therapies in the Dominican Republic. I travel to Nicaragua every month. I spend about 220 days there. And our work is really focused on going into communities, understanding community needs, and then helping the community come up with a solution and working hand in hand to implement those solutions.
Give us an idea what some of those challenges are for some of the communities that you go into.
So we see lots of problems with housing, access to potable water, lack of sort of medical infrastructure, so where there's physicians but not necessarily medications, medical education, women not getting pap smears, children that are malnourished because of lack of access to vitamins, kids that have to go to work at 12 and 13 years old and have to, you know, drop out of school, which perpetuates the cycles of poverty that exist in the developing world. So we're working with the communities to help sort of alleviate some of those issues. We're working with the communities to develop programs that are going to enable people to sort of come out of poverty. And we're always looking at ways that can sort of insert ourselves in a way that will enable the community to sort of continue to be in control of the program and the project without sort of it feeling and appearing that FNE is coming in and sort of taking over. So we really are very focused on sort of that collaborative approach and to ensure that we're not causing sort of more problems than we're resolving.
Right. So it's a multi-tiered approach. So if there's a water issue, you curate a company to help bring in water in the region? I mean, you're connecting and networking to try and build in some of these needed infrastructures. So it sounds like you help with the formation of educational content, perhaps. Explain to me and the audience how those assets are brought in and how you build that.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my background is a business or public health background, and I realize that I'm not necessarily an expert in anything, right? So what I am an expert in is networking.
Right.
And so when we go into a community and we see an issue, whether it, let's use education, for example, we look to find sort of teachers here in the United States that are willing to come down and collaborate with teachers in Nicaragua and create sort of dialogue and interchange. So basically what I'm looking for is human resources here in the United States that can go into Nicaragua and empower and facilitate improving infrastructure in Nicaragua. If somebody comes in and says, oh, we have a problem with water, I'm not saying, oh, I'm going to fix that. I'm looking for somebody that's going to be willing to work with us to fix that. And I think that's really kind of a critical component. Obviously, we know that we, as an organization, don't have all the solutions, but we do have access to
connections,
a mountain of resources. And so every time we see an encounter a new problem, we're looking for partners. And a really good example would be a community that we work in called San Claudio, where there's a lot of problems with flooding. There's a lot of problems with sanitation and water, dirty water and sort of runoff and affecting potable water because latrines are improperly installed. And so the community sort of approached FNE with some of these issues. And I sent an application to Engineers Without Borders, and they approved the project, and we were assigned a partner in Chicago with Illinois Institute of Technology. And so over the past 4 years, 5 years, we've collaborated with IIT, and we started working on a feasibility study with this for a bridge. Unfortunately, the bridge was going to be a $1 million project, and it just didn't really seem like the best use of funds. But we have developed a bunch of programs with hand washing stations at schools and eco latrines, composting latrines that are projects that are obviously benefiting the community in a number of ways and are projects that the community is working with us to implement.
So you you have a strong ability to connect the dots. I've been involved in nonprofits my whole career too, in one way or another, donating time and things like that. And you're a guy that sees, you know, water running off in a funny way, and you're like, wait a minute, all we need is a backhoe and some engineering here. Let's get this done. Let me see who I can contact.
Yeah.
And you're kind of the fix-it guy. So let me ask you, over the last, say, 3 years, how are you reaching your marketplace, given the changes in, you know, how people consume content? There are so many outfits out there or foundations that are looking to help people. Resources in some ways are scarce. How do you find a way to make, you know, FNE top of mind for a particular audience?
I think that we really focus on connecting with our clients, and we have two different sets of clients. We have our community clients in Nicaragua and Peru, the people that we're working with to provide services to, and then we have our clients who travel with us, student groups and professional groups. And so we don't have like a set plan every time. We customize our trips to the groups that we're bringing down to ensure that the group is having the best experience possible, that we're maximizing how their skill set is used. And then also looking at the community standpoint and saying, how can the community benefit most from this? How can we have a really strong symbiotic relationship so that people that participate in the trips want to return, and the community wants to continue working with us. And so we're working on developing a continuum So each trip builds on the next trip. Each trip gets a little bit better.
So explain who is on that trip and what their role is.
Okay. So, I mean, we have students in high school, college that are just sort of going down and doing an immersion style trip. They're spending a week working with a family and a professional builder on a house project, for example. Yep. They're working in a classroom with English language learners, trying to help the teacher teach some basic lessons. Or, for example, next week, we have three friends of mine that are pediatricians coming down to work with several doctors that I work with in Nicaragua. And we're going to be seeing 75 kids with chronic illnesses. Huh. And the objective of that trip is going to be seeing some of the kids are going to probably are being treated fine, like the treatment the doctors are giving them is working.
Perfect,
well.
Yeah.
Some of the kids are going to need some sort of follow-up in a higher level sort of, whether it's a test in the capital in Managua or some sort of screening that's going to need to take place. And then some of the kids, we may make some modifications on how the treatment's being done, but the treatment will be able to continue in the clinic. So the idea is each of our trips is focused on providing the maximum amount of assistance we can provide to the community and also making the people involved that are coming down with us feel like they're really making a productive use of their time. You're giving up a week of your time and you're paying for it. We want to make sure that you're feeling like this is a really positive experience. I want to come back. And again, over the course of the past 6, 7, 8 years that we've been doing this, we probably have about a 60 to 65% return rate where somebody will come once and then come twice. And I mean, this past trip in August, we had it was a small trip, 8 people, but of the 8, 6 people have been more than 3 times.
Well, experienced group. That's great. So how are you guys funded?
So our funding comes from mostly from individual donors, people that are supporting people that are traveling on trips. We have one large grant through the TripAdvisor Foundation, which is a grant that works with housing, education, and a potable water project.
Is it TripAdvisor here in Newton?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. TripAdvisor.
The TripAdvisor.
Yes, the TripAdvisor, and they have a large foundation, and they've gave us a really, really wonderful grant that'll be entering its final year.
So, do you have somebody else in line? Or?
We're working on a number of different possibilities.
So you have grant writers and that kind of stuff to kind of help you out.
I mean, we have a lot of volunteers.
Oh,
and again, that's always a struggle, though. It's a struggle because sometimes volunteers don't necessarily, you know, they sign up for something and then something comes up. And
life happens.
And life happens.
And the urgency isn't there sometimes when they're,
right,
you know.
Exactly.
I've been involved with many. I sit on a board now down in South Shore Hospital down in Weymouth, Mass., and you see it all the time, people volunteering, and they're generally a flat organization. You get the executive director, you've got an assistant, then maybe one employee, and then a tree of a bunch of volunteers.
Right. Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's very challenging, I would imagine. So, you know, what would be in summation, what would be your goal over the next, say, couple years as a foundation for growth?
Mm-hmm. So I think we have there are two or three main goals. One would be, so we have all these young people and adults participating in trips, and they bring in 10, 15, 20 donors.
Yep.
And let's say that they raise $500 or $600 a person. What I love to see is, If that student or adult is not going on a trip the next year, to be able to keep those donors engaged in some way, shape, or form. So maybe if there are 10 donors at $100 each, if we could get 5 of those donors even to donate $50 each,
right,
we'd be able to kind of continue raising funds outside of just the groups.
Just the groups, yeah.
I also, obviously, looking more towards developing grant contacts and large corporate gifts would be a big piece for us as well. And obviously, a big piece is finding unrestricted funds that enable us to sort of grow organizationally. Because at this point, I'm the only paid employee.
Right.
And the salary that I'm taking is,
modest.
Modest.
Best.
Very modest, I would say. Yes, yeah. I could make more money working at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
So those would be a couple of the goals. Another goal would be really one of my sort of dream visions is developing a model of lateral development where people that we work with in Nicaragua, community partners in Nicaragua, are working with community partners in Peru and the Dominican Republic, and we're developing programs that are sort of community originated and benefiting communities in other places. So our community leaders are training other community leaders in whatever
kind
area
of cross-pollination.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
great. And so all too often, the approach in the nonprofit world is very top-down.
It's very silo, too. I mean, exactly. It's like, okay, you know, no, there's no...
Yeah, there's no side-to-side.
Side-to-side
exactly.
At all.
No, yeah, just running into walls. And so trying to break the walls, trying to move out of that silo or move out of that box and look at different ways that that people engaged in the nonprofit work can help each other. So that's a really big piece. And it's definitely happening in Nicaragua, where we have our scholarship program, which is run by a young woman named Carla. She was a student that graduated with a journalism degree 2 years ago, and she stayed on with the organization to sort of continue shepherding the scholarship program. And she will go into new communities that we're working in and train other young people to run a scholarship program in their community. And so she's supervising them and ensuring that they're doing things properly, that they're providing us the proper documentation so we have, you know, sort of backup information for our donors and supporters. I want to see more of that, but not just in Nicaragua, from Nicaragua to Peru, from Nicaragua to the Dominican Republic, from Peru to Nicaragua. I just think there's so much opportunity and there's so much people can learn from each other because right. they're coming from a common background.
Right. You're a networker and a kind of a guy that connects the dots. I could see why you'd like to see the broadening of that platform. My name is David Soper, and we're live from MTP Software, Radio Entrepreneurs. Michael, why don't you tell the audience the best way to reach out to you and talk a little bit about maybe your website and a phone number or email that they can contact
sure.
you with?
Sure. So FNEinternational.org. And actually, we are pretty excited. We have a new website that will be going live in the next day or two. Really fresh new look and really excited about the work that our friend Max has done on that. Our Facebook page, you can find us at FNE International on Facebook. IKECIP, IKECIP at FNEinternational.org is my email address. And no matter where I am, I respond within a day. And I can be reached on the phone too, 857-205-0236. And again, with the magic of the internet, now that phone rings pretty much anywhere I am. So
hey, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. My name's David Soper. We'll be back. And I am with Radio Entrepreneurs, and we'll be back after these messages. Thank you.
Thank you.